Yep, that should be it. Great. Morning, everyone. I just have a few quick announcements before I just bring the message this morning. The men's breakfast yesterday, apparently 20-odd guys, Royce? Yep, 22. And I think they had a great time. Cole spoke to them. Cole Sharrock was their speaker, and all was well. And there were some people that came that weren't saved, some guests that came, so that's a great start. So well done, men. Now, Graham and I are supposed to be going to Tasmania tomorrow to the BMI conference, and I don't know, God knows. Last Sunday afternoon, we had to drive to Victoria in a truck to pick up a bobcat. We left after church, stayed overnight, went straight the next morning to Dandenong, didn't even get out of the truck, picked up the bobcat, drove back. Now, Tasmania have shut their borders to anyone that's been in Victoria in the last 14 days. So we're not going to the conference, and I was so devastated. I even had a little segment where I was asked to speak just a short time on things that are happening in Maria, and I was really, really upset. But then I had a little word from God, and he said, I need you here this week. And so he knows. Oh, sorry. Yeah, but nothing escapes him. I mean, why did we pick that day to go to to Victoria? I don't know. But we did, and God knew. And so they're going to meet. See, the Victorians can't go either, obviously, but the conference will go ahead. And I just believe it's going to be a great thing for BMI, an amazing conference of a new season of BMI, not only in Australia but in overseas. And so I'm just going to bless them, and I think they're going to try and get some Zooms happening, and maybe I'll get to see some things that are going on as well. On another note, Paul and Jane are from the BMI Mittagong Church. They were released by their pastor, Darren, and BMI to come down here for a season and just to be here with us as we went through some difficult times. And I think the biggest thing that I felt they brought was a presence. There was something about the presence that they brought. And Paul is a prayer, and we would come down Saturday nights and pray over this place, and then Sunday morning he'd be walking from my place to here praying and getting... Yes, so, but seasons come and seasons go. And so they've felt, Cozzy said last Sunday, the season is over. Now, that doesn't mean they're not coming back. Paul's actually preaching next week. But they're going to be weaning off here, and they'll still probably come down because they actually love it here. But I believe at the BMI conference they're going to be released because there's other churches that they're going to need them as well. And so, while they're always in our hearts and they've just been a tower of strength to not only me, but I know a lot of you as well, and they're just lovable people. So, like I said, they will be weaning. They will still be here a bit, and so we will see them, and they'll always just come back because they want to. All right, so just on another note, a really important note, on Wednesday week, it's State of Origin, and Sandra... I know that you want to come, but I'm not sure that we should let you. It's the football, okay? The Queensland versus New South Wales. So we're going to be showing it here for all the fans, and we're going to have pizza, okay? So 6:30, all right, on Wednesday night. Queenslanders, Christopher, will not be permitted in, all right? And so a night of fun, because good to have some fun. I love the footy, as you might know by now. And so, Sandra, I could pick you up if you really want to come. But anyway, so we're going to be barracking for New South Wales win, of course. Anyway, that's a bit of another note. Well, Connie, when you said about the sheep and the sheepdog, I got this little gif from someone sent the other day, the picture of all these sheep. And they're standing up and they're having drinks and nibbles, and one of them saying to the other, we don't know where to stand, we don't know what to do, we're a bit lost. And then there's a border collie walks in. Oh, thank goodness, the dog's arrived. So That was just like a little funny thing that made me think about what you said, because we want the border collie of the Holy Spirit to round them up, don't we? All right. Okay, Father God, I just commit this word to you. It's been brewing in my spirit for a while now, and Father, I pray that as I deliver this word, that people would hear your voice, that you would speak to their heart, and I commit this now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, it's really glary. All right, a couple of weeks ago, Christopher brought a message on faith. You remember that? And to fight for faith and to fight for what the enemy has stolen. And you participated by coming at the front, and physically some of you wrote down names or situations or whatever. You put them in a box and they're out the back there sitting under the cross that lights up at night. I don't know if you've driven past here at night, but there's a beautiful little cross that's in the bricks. It's made of little glass tiles. And at night when the light's on, that cross shines. So we leave that light on. And so your prayer requests and the desires of your heart, some of them are in that box. And while I'm committed to praying for those requests on behalf of you and my own requests, I want to encourage you to stand in faith and not give up. Not give up until your requests become answered, okay? Thank God in advance for it. You know, that's something that I've learned to do, is when I have a situation, Ephesians 6:4 or 4:6, about don't worry about anything. Thank God for everything he's done. And I always thank him in advance, because I know if it's his will, it will be done. And I don't give up. But I've also experienced many times that when I step out and when I'm believing for something, the enemy also steps up. And he comes against what we're standing for. Anyone else? Yep. Exactly. But that's when we have to stand firm and not go on what we see, but what God sees. Now, I'm going to get a little personal here. When our marriage was in trouble and when Graham left, I was really angry with the devil. I was grieving. And I, for some reason, I drove out, I took a moment with God, and when I come back home, God, I parked in the driveway and I'm staring at the wall, and God said to me, get ready for your wedding. The circumstances were nothing along those lines. They were nothing. But God put that in my spirit, and it gave me another ability to stand and to just let God do what only God could do. So when he's coming against your prayers, your family, do not take it from the enemy. Like Jean said, we have the authority to tell the enemy to back off in Jesus' name. And he has to go. Because long before you had a problem, God had a plan, didn't he? Yep. And we all have to leave our loved ones and our situations in God's hands. And in the waiting, it's in the waiting, isn't it? That's tough. And I've got a scripture that really encouraged me from Psalm 37. we're just getting the PowerPoint. It's coming. Psalm 37, 3-7. Oh, the message title is Dying to Self for Your Good and Your Glory. Steve's already actually preached most of my message. Okay, so trust in the Lord and do good. That to me meant trust God, just keep doing what I do, just keep about it. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he'll help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still. This is the key. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. And don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about wicked schemes. Don't worry. Trust God and be still and wait patiently for him to act. And with faith, I've got a little PowerPoint. It takes faith to wonder, not wander. To trust when you don't understand. To live on purpose, stay on mission. To navigate injustice and suffering in our world. To get up and keep going when you face a setback. To hold on to the truth that God is good when life is not. It takes faith. It takes faith. And you know, when you're going through something, peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of God. That's where our peace comes from. And my message today is really about dying to ourself. And look, I could have called it a number of things, but that's what I stuck with. And while some of the things that I'm going to touch on aren't a reflection of you or our congregation, I feel that the Lord wanted me to bring this anyway. And culture today, very different than when we grew up and very different than when Jesus walked on the earth. And my heart for this church is that we would continue to develop a healthy culture. We have one, I believe. I feel great. I feel like it's healthy. But let's continue to develop that. And a culture that is all about him, that is all about Jesus. As we're building our church on the rock, it's all about him, isn't it? But that he would reflect in us and through us. And the culture of today is a very selfish culture. It's a culture about selfie, me. Selfie. You only have to look at social media to see that. Now, not all of social media is bad. I love seeing what friends and relatives are doing, so it's not all bad. Sometimes it's actually a good distraction to jump on and have a bit of a laugh and see what some... I mean, you pick your friends. You've got to pick who you're going to watch too, you know. And it's great. I get to track you. I get to know when Dennis and Pamela are on, you know, holiday up there, or when Chrissy and Wayne are in somewhere cold freezing. You know, I get to see that. I get to see when Royce and Liz have a wedding anniversary and things like that, because it's nice to see all that and Janet's grandchildren and what's happening there. So it's a good thing used in the right way. But it's a very selfie culture, social media in general. Now, you know, think about when you went on holidays as a kid or even yourselves, you know, you'd see a lovely scenery, a lovely waterfall, and you'd be gazing at the waterfall and you'd take a picture of the waterfall. But nowadays, people are like, waterfall, let's take a picture of me. And you're like, yeah, me in the waterfall, and you get me and the waterfall, whoops, the waterfall might be in the background if you're lucky. Of all people to have their phone on. It's a bit of a crisis call, but don't talk to him now, for heaven's sake. Actually, this guy was going to commit suicide last night, so, yeah, seriously, he was. Good, okay, there you go, God's at work. So here we are, that, you know, now people, like, instead of gazing at the waterfall, something beautiful, they're in there themselves and getting it in the background, aren't we? Aren't they, you know? Instead of standing by and gazing at the beauty, you know, getting the best shot. And really, they're focusing on themselves, aren't they? But it's become totally normal now for that to happen. I just get amazed at the young people. They just selfie everything, and they're trying to get their worth from looking good, trying to show their best face forward, and sadly it's not going to work, is it? But I want to read a scripture that relates to this selfie culture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5, Paul's talking, he said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Now, it's amazing to me that he says in the last days the world's going to get really bad, but he's talking about in the church. We already know the world's gone way off track, but he's talking about the church. Yes, people in the church will become lovers of self. They will come into church thinking only about themselves. It's going to happen. People will be focused on themselves. You know, and the Bible says stay away from people like that. It's okay to not have a close relationship with someone like that. It's okay. As a matter of fact, it's a good warning that we don't have to. Yes, we love people and we show mercy, but there's a balance. There's a balance. And when people bring that in, the Bible says stay away. When people have an agenda, which they do, they come in. It's all about them. So the Bible is warning us that in the last days it's going to creep into the church where people will think only about themselves. So I guess it's a warning to us as what the church might start to look like if we here now don't keep our focus on Jesus and don't allow that culture to come into the church. See, people will come in thinking, where am I going to sit? Who am I going to sit next to? What songs are they going to sing today? I better like the songs that they're going to sing. They come in selfie mode. Look at me. Look at me. Look at my issues. Help me. Help me. You know, how many times do you hear, oh, the church should be doing that. Oh, the church should be doing this. Well, we are the church, aren't we? And people are the church. The church hasn't hurt you. People have hurt you. And I defend that because I think they just generalize the church with everything. Yes, people have been hurt in church. Who hasn't been hurt by somebody in church? Forgive and move on. That's the biggest bait of Satan, is to get us offended in the church, so we'll leave. But some of the most miserable people that I know are people that don't get out of selfie mode. And no matter what I do for them, it's never enough. We can't please them no matter what we do. No matter what we say, how we encourage them, they will continue to look at how they feel. It's about them. And there is a time when it's about us. You know, there's a balance here. But yes, there's a time when you need healing, when you need some focus. But when we come in and when we lift our eyes to you, Jesus, the things of earth all just grow strangely dim, don't they? And the secret to life and the secret to joy in life is to get out of our selfie mode and to look at someone other than yourself. The best thing you can do for yourself is to get over yourself. And I don't say that in a bad way. You know, there's that slogan, I get over yourself. I'm just saying that if we can get over some of the things, deny ourselves, that's another way, and look up to where our help comes from. I mean, David in Psalm 27, he says, One thing I have asked, 27:4, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple. We come here not for me. We don't come here for you. We come here to worship our God and to gaze upon him, the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. And David, one of my role models, he learned so much while he was on his journey to be king. He learned to take his eyes off himself and off the circumstances that he faced and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. He stopped relying on his own strength and learned to dwell in the house of the Lord in his waiting. And this is something that is lost in this generation, that we feel we have to be the center of every picture. And life has to be about us. And then we wonder why we're still unfulfilled. Because the secret to joy is not looking at ourselves, but to him. And we pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, you know, we want to bring heaven to earth. And let me describe a little bit what heaven is like. A snapshot of heaven is found in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. And it says, And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. I don't think that in heaven people are taking selfies or going up to God to get a selfie with him. No, everyone is focusing on him, worshipping him, and they're all there for one reason, to worship him. And all they want is to come up to the Lamb and say, "Worthy, worthy are you. Jesus, you deserve all the praise and all the honour, all the attention." No one in heaven is looking at themselves. No one even wants a mirror in heaven. They're looking at him and all of his glory. And that's what we need to teach and model in the church, that it is all about him. Our worship needs to be about him. It actually brings so much joy in life when you actually can take your mind off yourself and worship him. Things fall off. Worries of the day fall off when we worship and put things in perspective and worship him. The Bible says that he dwells in unapproachable light and that there are millions of angels worshiping him, gazing at him. And yet too many people would rather look in the mirror and gaze at themselves and wonder why they're so miserable. What I want to get across today is that we need to take our eyes off ourselves and look at God and look at others. You know, I can take my eyes off myself and look at God, but sometimes I need help when I look at others. You know, one of the things that God has given us is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So we have no excuse. So let's have a look in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And then it goes on and lists some of the things there of the gifts of the Spirit. There is a way, then God has gifted you, uniquely gifted, supernaturally gifted, each of you, so that the same Spirit will work in you and through you for others. I know God's given me a gift, and when I start to preach or when I'm having a deep conversation with someone, it's not me anymore. The Spirit of God starts to speak through me to encourage others and to bless others. And that happens when I get rid of myself. And if we all did that and realised you've all got a gift to bless other people. I mean, I get amazed at some of the things that I come up with sometimes. I do. And the Bible says everyone has a gift like that, at least one of them. We're the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. And the reason why people don't figure out what their gift is because they're not thinking about the common good. I mean, did you come to church today thinking, you don't put your hand up, "Okay, I love this church. I love the people. God, give me something today. Give me a gift because I'm thinking about them and I want to bless them. I want to bless whoever I sit next to. Lord, give me a word today, a word to bring to the church." And I know Jill was always saying she asked the Lord for a word and he always gives her a word. Do we come like that? And I thought, talking to myself, I'm quite often, is the plants going to be okay? Are the windows up? Are the light? You know, you get focused off what it's about. And I'm so pleased because, you know, months and months ago we had trouble with technology. We didn't have any singers. But it taught us that it isn't about that. It's about him. And so regardless if the worship, you like it or you don't like the particular song, we're going to worship God anyway. If we've got singers or YouTube, we're going to worship God anyway. Come about others, because it's funny, you play a song and half the church will go, oh, I love that song, and the other half, oh, I wasn't quite sure about the song. Like, that's just because we're different people. So let's not think about ourselves. I don't like everything either, but I don't focus on that. I think, what's for the common good of the church? What's going to bless him? What's going to bless him? And that's how I want to be more and more, especially when I'm coming to church. I want to manifest the Holy Spirit for the common good. I want to be led by the Spirit. And to do that, I've got to get my mind off myself. Graham had to remind me this morning, I just got all these things coming at me this week, and I let myself get focused on the situation and the circumstances. I mean, we had some things going on. I mean, I received a subpoena that we're going to be sued, Graham and I, our business is going to be sued. Like, oh, whatever, just, you know. And among other things, just this week. And you've just got to get your mind off those things. They're just coming at you because the devil just doesn't like you. And so this morning, Graham just come up and just prayed and, like, who's it all about? And it's like, yep, it just reminded me of what it's all about. You know, and sometimes it's just difficult to get rid of ourselves. But I know that when I pray in the Spirit, all my thinking goes, as I'm not thinking, I'm just praying in the Spirit, the words, I have no idea what I'm saying, but somehow I seem to get out of the way. And yeah, it's daunting sometimes when you've got to do something. And, you know, like, I get daunted by getting up here and speaking. I get daunted by praying for someone sometimes. I think, oh, what have I got to say? Like, who am I? But then I realise that if God isn't going to use me, then what's the point? So I want him to use me and to work through me. It'd be nice. I'd just prefer sometimes to sit there, let Sandra preach, and she can pray, and I'll go out and have coffee with all you. But I have to get rid of my thinking and myself. In Philippians 2, 1 to 3, I love this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Having the same love. I know we've got love happening here. This is like there's cafe love out there. This is a church. I couldn't tell you how many times I get comments from visitors saying, this church is full of love. So thank you for being who you are, for coming with a loving, gracious, merciful spirit. You people are beautiful people. But we can always do more. Always, because God is God and he doesn't leave us the same. Okay, so having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. This is the word of God, and Paul's saying, if you get anything from Christ, anything from participating in his Spirit, then do something for me. Make my joy complete. He says, when you gather, consider others more important than yourself. In fact, don't do anything based on selfish ambition. Don't come in here in selfie mode, thinking about yourself, but come in and consider others more important. You know, many people, even Christians, live only to make a good impression on others and they please themselves. But selfishness brings discord. And Paul therefore stressed spiritual unity, and he was asking the Philippians to love one another and to be of one spirit and in one purpose. Selfishness can ruin a church, but genuine humility can build it. Being humble involves having a true perspective about ourselves. You know, don't think too highly, don't think too lowly of yourself. Just be yourself, just be who God's brought you to be. Just be happy with yourself. You are what you are. We are saved by God's grace, and therefore we are of great worth in the kingdom. Great worth. And Jesus Christ was humble, and he was willing to give up his rights in order to obey God and to serve people. And like Christ, we should have a servant's attitude, serving out of love for God and love for others. And remember, he set aside the right to his glory and power in submission to his Father's will. Honestly, how many of us can say that we think about other people more, and how, and we can we bless other people? I don't know about you, but that's something I want to do more of, focus more on. I want to get up in the morning and like, Lord, give me encounters today. Let me be a blessing to someone today instead of being so busy and thinking of the next thing I've got to get to. Talking to myself. That was such a beautiful example of Jesus. He didn't come to serve. I mean, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And if he's really our role model, we can take the name of Christ, and that's what's going to bring life. Life into us and life into the church. I mean, he rescued me. He rescued me from myself a long time ago when I gave my life to him. He rescued me from my life and my misery, and now I can thank him and live freely in him. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, if Jesus would have come into this room, he wouldn't be thinking about himself. He'd be looking at others. He'd be touching you, and he'd say, "This is my Father's house. This is my Father's temple." Our God is a spring of living water, and that's why David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He didn't want from other people. His want came from the Lord. And your cup can be so filled that you will overflow. Other people are never going to give you the life that you expect. And if you are full, you can't help but spill over onto others. We can be so filled in him, but we forget that. We get dry. We get dry because we're not spending the time with him. There are parents out there who are not fulfilled, and they try to fulfill their needs through their kids. Doesn't mean you shouldn't help your kids, but they can't fill your needs. And there are young people out there who haven't found a relationship with God yet, and they demand so much from their parents. But this is why we have empty people, because we start looking for what we need in others. This is what causes divorces. This is what causes families to be broken. Wives, love your husbands, but don't expect them to give you what only God can give you. And the same for husbands. You know, I'm arguing speaking for women, but women can be needy. But let's face it, we just all want to be loved. But no one is going to love you more than God loves you. I learned so much in my time alone of knowing my need in him and not getting my need from my husband. God is my need. He's a bonus, but God is my need. He's my want, but God's my need. And we become so needy that we look for something to fulfill us. Codependent people need someone, and yet they're only ever going to get what they need from God. And so when we're not getting fulfilled, people will come into church wanting what we can't even give them. And we end up with a church that is not relying on God, rather than a church that is overflowing with life. You know, I just consider myself so blessed because I have everything that I need in Christ. I'm in awe of him as I look to him. And I can imagine those millions of angels worshipping him. And I think, wow, God, you saw me in all of that. You saw me, a broken little me, and you sacrificed your one and only son on a cross for me. He came after me. No one else has ever loved me like he does, and no one else ever will. So people, women especially, don't look at your husbands for what they cannot give you. Husbands, don't rely on your wife for what only God can give you. And when I can focus on him, I don't want for anything. That's worth worshipping him for. Only in God there is fullness of joy. And church, there's a little thingy. You will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything but Christ. You know, church to me isn't about how many chairs are filled, but how many lives are transformed. While I might be the pastor and the role that God has given me, I am not going to fulfill your need. Christ is. I will be here when people want to talk to me, want to some godly advice or whatever. I'm here, but I'm going to work through the Holy Spirit. And I'm hopefully going to give you God's wisdom. But I am here. And sometimes I hear little things about, oh, this, you know, such and such. And I'm like, come and ask me. Come and talk to me. I'm approachable. I'm busy. But, hey, people are my priority other than God. Okay? And I am here for you. I want you to know that. But God is building his church. I'm not. I'm amazed, actually. I stand in awe of the last couple of years, of what's happened in the life of personally and in the church, and I stand in awe. I gaze at him because he's done what I could not even imagine, and all I've had to do is stand. All I've had to do is stand. And I'm standing for this church, and I'm standing for you, and we stand together. God is building his church, and we just simply have to get rid of ourself, and we have to manifest the Holy Spirit for the common good. Love God and love people. Amen. Amen. Now, we are going to sing Turn Our Eyes Again. I think it's a beautiful song. And in that moment, if anyone would like any prayer, any encouragement, I've asked the Holy Spirit to come in, and he's going to work through us this morning if anyone would like prayer. Then we're going to play another song. I mean, you are, will be free to go after that, but we're just going to play some music so that if you want to stay and just soak in the presence of God, you're welcome. The second song's called The King Is Coming, and it's one of those African songs that Rod, not that one that he bought, but another one by the same people. Just beautiful. So thanks.
Look for